There we go.
Okay. So, I understand the purpose of today is basically to finish rewriting the questions on the survey. That's the main point of today. Am I right? Yes, no, maybe?
I believe so.
This is me being a fabulous moderator.
Okay. You're doing fine. You're doing fine.
Do you guys want to try to do the Google Docs thing again? And if so, Herla, you'd like to? Because I have no idea how to do that.
Well, you should just be able, if you go to Google Docs.
Okay.
So what I always do, I log into the research cluster page because I pull that up first before I remember that this is in a separate place.
Okay.
So then when I open Google Docs, it already knows who I am.
Okay.
And it shows me the page. That's how I've always found it.
I just clicked on the email that you sent to all of the research cluster members.
Yeah, there was a...
The link in there.
Okay, so let's try research cluster. Okay, see, that would assume... No, there it is. Okay, so the last version I have has both the questions and then, like, the topic list thing that we were doing. That's what I have as the – that's what I'm looking at, right?
That's what I'm looking at, too.
Okay. Yeah, so it was the two versions, the one that were the full questions and then the one that was just the topic.
Okay, and basically, from what I remember from all the emails, the – RAB numbers did not like the topic thing.
No, they definitely liked the first one better.
Okay. So basically.
Yeah, my big concern then was the questions that should be in bold, 27, 30, and 31.
Yes.
The way they're worded right now, students could say that they strongly agree about their familiarity without really having a strong opinion about the subject. I think those are the main ones that we need to, there we go. Those are the main ones that we need to work on, I think.
Okay.
One idea I was thinking about it a tiny bit yesterday, and one idea I just had was something about, like, I think about the life cycles of various insects, or I have strong opinions about, like, some of the questions, like, number six just says, I have strong feelings about current political issues. What if we were to just say, I have strong feelings about the life cycles of various insects? I mean, it sounds really kind of corny, but we're expecting neutral responses. So, I mean, we could maybe get people saying strongly disagree there too. So, I don't know. I don't know how to word this to try and elicit a neutral or to give them the best chance of capturing a neutral response if they really do feel neutral. What about, I think the life cycles of various insects. I think it's interesting to learn about the life cycle.
I was about to say, yes, there's something about it being interesting, and I think you'll get a lot of, well, then you still get strongly disagreeing.
We just can't win with this one.
Yeah.
Should we phrase it as, I don't care about the life cycles of various insects?
Yeah, so then you're going to get strongly agree.
But then the question itself would actually be asking them the neutral part, and we would then want them to agree with the fact it was neutral. Would that work? Or we strongly agree with the fact that this is a neutral idea. I kind of get that. I don't know what to do with these ones.
Could it be something like, I have a vast prior knowledge about the life cycles of various insects?
But again, I think you're going to get a lot of strongly disagree because I think most people don't know about the life cycles of various insects.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we just take that out and just hope that some of these other ones, even though we're thinking that we're going to get... I don't know. I mean, those are the three that we think... are going to be the neutral ones, right?
Right.
We don't have any other ones that we...
So let's think a little bit about what we're expecting to interfere. Like, in some sense, if they didn't know about a topic, would that context then obscure the sampling methods that we're trying to get them to think about? Or is that kind of the same as having a neutral topic if they don't have, like, a prior exposure to it? Can you say no prior exposure infers no prior belief, which is therefore neutral? Does that work? Or is that too many jumps in logic?
I mean, I think that's what we were talking a little bit about before, is neutral the same thing as I'm not familiar?
Yeah, that's right. We were talking about that.
Well, wasn't there something about this when we were talking about in the article that, was it Watson? Was talking about the cars and talking about the difference between males and females responding to the Honda question. I seem to remember there's something about that,
yeah,
because women don't know as much about cars or don't care as much about cars.
Yeah, they said, like, the women were more likely to pick the it doesn't matter option, either way she could end up with a lemon. Like, they were just like, whatever, it doesn't matter, whereas the boys tended to pick things and then describe because they thought those cars were better.
So basically, did Watson say that if they didn't care, or they didn't, was Watson hypothesizing that the females, since they didn't really care about the cars, they didn't really know anything about the cars, was the lemon answer the right answer?
No, I think the right answer, I can't remember which brand it was, but one of the brands was evaluated by Consumer Reports studies. So they looked at several cars, and the other one was the anecdote of two friends. So you were supposed to pick the answer that talked about the Consumer Reports. And so maybe not being familiar is not the same thing. Like, maybe that if they really don't care, they may still...
Well, I don't know if that is necessarily a parallel example, because I think even if you don't know anything about cars, I mean, even if you're a woman, you still know something about cars.
Yeah.
You know something about cars versus insects. You may really literally know nothing about the life cycles of insects other than the fact that you hate spiders.
Yeah.
You know. But, I mean, even there, you know, you might have just something about, you know. Sort of a, who really cares about insects? They're unimportant. You know, I hate spiders sort of answer. I don't know.
Huh. This is why I don't do survey development.
Why don't we just take it off? What are the chances that we're going to find studies? Well, probably pretty good, I guess.
Well, yeah. That was what I was asking is, I mean, you know, all of the other ones we're expecting that we're going to get more extreme answers, but, I mean, some of these probably will be more neutral than others. So, I mean, the point of this is to get an idea of what kind of responses we're going to get from our students. I mean, that's what we're trying to find out is, and maybe some of the ones that we've already asked aren't going to be as hot button issues as we think they're going to be. Maybe some of the other ones will be our neutral questions. We just don't know it yet. Like, the foods that I eat should be irradiated for health reasons. Or the Facebook question.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to if we really can't come up with a way to write it that we think is going to be. Or we just leave it on and see what happens. And I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm arguing with myself, but, you know, we leave it on, see what happens. If it's a complete disaster, we don't use it later on. I mean, the whole point of this is to kind of see what happens.
Yeah, that is one good point. It's kind of the questions within the survey don't really depend on each other too much, like these ones especially. Like, we could just look at this data eventually and decide, well, it doesn't tell us anything, so we scrap this data.
Yeah.
Well, I almost like what you were saying earlier, Hurley, like, you know, that if they say, if they disagree strongly with I am knowledgeable, that's almost like saying that they don't know.
Yeah.
That they're unfamiliar with the topic. So, I mean, I feel like we might still be getting the answer we want. It's just not a good way of writing a neutral question when you want the answer of neutral. Because that's never usually your goal.
You know? I know.
So, I mean, I don't think there's a good way of writing a neutral question that I can even think of. Unless you have, you know, I believe that the life cycles of bees is very different than the life cycle of, you know, of ants. I have no clue. But, I mean, that would be something I'd be like, yeah, I don't really have an opinion on that.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe bees are more important to the... No, we could do something like that. Bees are more important to the what do you call it, the not the life cycle, the... ecosystem.
Pollination. Yeah, actually, I just heard a news report about that. I don't know if it was a statistical study or what it was, but that just came up in the news about how, I guess they are noticing declines in the bee population, and some obscene number of our food is based on plants that require pollination by bees. So actually, that's a very relevant topic.
So bees are important to our ecosystem or something along those lines.
What if we were to just say that? Bees, I mean, so we have a bee example. What if we were to take out 27 and put in bees are important to our ecosystem and see what type of answers we get? If they know about it, we may get some people that say strongly agree. Other people may just be like, you know, I don't know. It might be interesting to see what comes up.
Yeah, because that one, they, you know, that way it's bees. I mean, they would know a little something about bees. We're less likely to get the, I have no idea what they're talking about. I don't know. Yeah, that might, we might be more likely to get a little bit more of a neutral, I don't know. Anyway, we're kind of taking a shot in the dark here, but that might be better than the life cycles of various insects, because that's more of a I have not know nothing about this topic kind of question.
Sarah, Jackie, what do you guys think of that?
Works for me. Me too.
All right, so we will make 27. Bees are an important part, like a type of the ecosystem. I'll unbold it. Oh, shoot. I apparently, instead of unbold, hit paste. Control B. There we go. All right. Now, the luggage and the kind of good citizen question, how much do you know about where you live? Can we do something similar with them? Should we leave them as is or scratch them?
Hmm. Could we say something along the lines, I was just reading something about the best places to live in America. I was thinking something along the lines of, you know, the mean salary, the jobless rate are important statistics in determining good places to live. Would that be something that would be... more likely to... That's more of an opinion.
We could do the mean salary and jobless rate in the area I live is... consistent with the national. averages or something like that? Or not?
Well, I was just thinking that would require them to still know, that would still require them to know what they are. And we might get a lot of people who just really don't know what the mean salary and the jobless rate is in their area.
So we might get a lot of zeros for that.
Yeah.
But don't you think they have a kind of an opinion in their minds about how where they live rates with other places in the country? They have an idea. I mean, they may not know the exact numbers, but don't you think they have a feeling for it?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, maybe we could phrase it in such a way that it's maybe not quite so, I know we're statisticians, but maybe phrase it so it's not quite so statistical. I don't know if that made any sense, but because we're referring to sort of very exact numbers, and I'm thinking that students might be put off by, you know, they don't know what the mean salary rate or the jobless rate is necessarily. Maybe the jobless rate they might. Did that make any sense whatsoever?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm typing out Tara's idea just so we can kind of see it and then maybe tweak from there.
Okay.
And if I live on. And similar to the national. So now the one question I have about this, which is kind of completely off topic, is the area which I live for college students, for a school where, you know, people might be coming from out of state. Do we say, you know, like in this city, meaning the city where the college is, or are we thinking, or are we thinking of their home city, or does it not matter?
That's a good question. I'm wondering, how are we going to come up with a single question on the survey or on the research that we're doing that would address this anyway, since we're all in different areas?
Yeah. I think to some extent we're going to have to do a little bit of data faking where we might be able to use a real study as a springboard for the background of the problem, but then we might have to switch the results to suit our needs, because we are going to need to compare some studies which go in one direction versus some studies which go in another and see if the direction, like the Republican-Democrat thing, if that affects their take on the study. So we could similarly come up with one study, but then change just the numbers in the problem according to what our local averages are.
Well, okay, I know we kind of didn't really go with this, but what about the mean salary and jobless rate are important considerations when picking a place to live?
Let's type that one out too.
Are things I would consider when, you know, so for sort of after college, you know. Of a jobless rate of a town or a city would be important considerations when choosing a town to live in.
I was looking at our survey when one of my second level staff students came into my office today, and he asked me what I was doing. So I told him, and he says, well, did anybody ever do research on the initial piece of that? Do students really care what the context of the problem is, or do they just care if they get the right answer? Like, that's nice. He's like, I could care less what the data is showing, and I just want to make sure I have the right answer. Fabulous.
That's funny. That actually
that was funny.
That's an interesting point. I wonder if we get different answers, like, in a classroom setting when we say, hey, this is for your grade, versus if we were just hanging out talking to them, like we might get in an interview setting. It's a whole other dimension I've never considered before.
He's one of my best students, and I was shocked that, I mean, he was coming to ask if he could do extra credit with the biology professor because she wanted to do a survey and collect data and stuff. And I was just shocked that he said that to me. Like, wow.
That is funny. Oy. So we could go through this whole thing and find no answer at all just because they're so concerned about their grades. They don't care about content. That would be an interesting thing.
They want the right answer.
Yeah, that would be an interesting thing to say. Nothing gets in their way when there's a right answer involved. They'll focus in on trying to find what the right answer is. Well, one thing we could do is we could leave both of these versions. So on the new list that I've been typing, we could leave both 32 and 33 because they're kind of getting at different things. And then delete 31. What do you guys
think? I'm fine with that.
Does anyone have a preference between the three that are here about these statistics?
So we're getting rid of 31 and keeping 32 and 33, is that what you said?
That's the motion on the floor.
I like that.
Jackie?
Works for me.
All right, so then that leaves the luggage. We already have one luggage question, which I think might be a little bit stronger. Like, I think that might elicit a little more stronger
mm-hmm.
reaction.
Yeah, we were having trouble with trying to define.
Here we go. Let me see if this works. The amount of luggage that can be carried by a small passenger jet is a consideration when I decide to fly.
That's actually good. Well, we might get a strongly
neutral.
Yeah.
We can even say, like, the amount of luggage that the plane can carry is a strong consideration when I decide to fly or something like that.
Yeah. That could work. I mean, I wonder if that still might elicit a strongly disagree if they've never thought about it before.
Is somebody gonna? Somebody putting that in?
What?
Is somebody putting that in?
I don't know. I saw 31 pop up. Someone else was typing.
Oh, okay.
Jackie, were you typing something in?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to not type because I'm just afraid that.
Yeah, Lee and I are the non-typers generally.
Oh, is that how it works?
I'm moderating from afar.
All right, I'm going to enter a new one in. So the amount of luggage. Do we still want to say in pounds? I should have just edited the one that's there because I'm retyping the whole thing.
Do they think of their luggage in pounds, though?
Probably not. I would think maybe. I mean, that's how airlines think of it, but I think limiting the number of pieces is an attempt to limit the pounds. I can just delete that, though. The amount of luggage that can be carried by a small passenger jet. Is is a consideration when I fly.
Do we need the small passenger jet anymore?
Yeah, probably not. By a plane. A place. Plane. All right. So now we're down to now we're down to 34. I would almost say for some of these, for some of these, it may still be like 30 to 32. I think they're better than they were, but I think something like strongly disagree might be more of a proxy for neutral here. So, like, I'm thinking about the luggage one. And, you know, I've never thought about the amount of luggage when I fly. Like, the, you know, the total amount. So I would probably put strongly disagree here.
What about the amount of luggage that you can take with you? Does I don't fly. Does it vary depending on which airline you're flying and what you can carry on versus what you have to put under?
Yeah, there's definite size limitations to carry-ons. There's limitations to what you can take in a carry-on. And there's weight. There's number and weight limitations in terms of what is either free or the minimum baggage charge, whereas, you know, like a lot of airlines, there's a minimum baggage charge for like one bag, but then a second bag costs even more. Or if your bag is over 50 pounds, it costs even more. So there are definitely minimums.
So we up with that at 29 then. Charging,
yes.
If it exceeds the weight limit. Is there a way to turn 30 into something more neutral that deals with the amount of luggage that they can take with them or something?
I'm not really sure. I mean, absolutely nothing is coming to mind for me. I don't know about anybody else.
I'm trying to see if we can do something like 27, like, you know, like the amount of luggage that can be carried by a plane is important when something.
What about it's important to know the amount of luggage that can be carried by the plane? Or is that still a strongly disagree?
Yeah,
like,
I think that would be a strongly disagree. Yeah.
This is really hard. It's really hard to try and elicit a neutral reaction. I don't know. I really, you know, I can't. I'm having a hard time with thinking of alternatives. So maybe we're back to either scrap them or to leave them and see what we get and decide after we see. I mean, this is meant to be exploratory, so we could just leave them on there and see what we get, and then based on that, we could decide, well, that didn't really give us useful information, so maybe we should just steer clear of these types of topics.
Yeah, or maybe we'll get better insight on how to write a neutral question and get neutral on the response at some point.
I know. I always hate rating scales like this because I just pick the questions apart. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to look at, I think these are, a lot of these are pretty good, but anything, oh, so like the gun permits one, it has an and in it, so it's a compound, like, sentence. And so I remember thinking, like, I was looking over these the other day, and I'm like, well, what if someone thinks that they should be monitored, but that they don't necessarily need to have regulations? Like, which part do they put? Or, you know, like the whole big brother, like, I'm going to keep my eye on you, but I'm not going to, you know, make an official regulation about it. What if someone felt like that? Like, I'm always the person who wants to put a, like, an it depends on a survey. I'm just that annoying person.
Well, maybe that's actually a good point for number 7. Maybe we should take off a piece of it.
We could just put the period after monitored. And people who want additional regulations may read that into the problem. You know, may just assume that's what we mean.
What about the beginning where it has gun permits and the sale of ammunition?
Oh, that's a good point. I actually...
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
All right,
can we just leave it as gun permits?
Yeah, should just be more closely monitored.
A stupid attempt at trying to make 30 neutral here again. So let's see. With the amount of luggage that can be carried by a plane... needs to be reassessed.
Huh. That might actually work.
But
why needs to be reassessed?
Why would it need to be reassessed?
That would require redesigning airplanes. My students won't know that.
That's why I'm wondering if they might actually go with neutral.
We can try it.
All right. Yeah, go for it. You know, at this point.
Are you typing that, Jackie, or am I?
I'll let you since you're so good at it.
All right, so we said the amount of luggage that can be carried by a plane needs to be
reassessed. I don't know what other word to use inside reassess, like reevaluated. You know, people maybe think that you should be able to put more luggage on the plane or something if they actually have an opinion.
Yeah.
That they're, you know.
Or maybe the amount of luggage they're allowed to carry onto the plane.
So that one I'm worried would actually get more of a strong response.
Yeah, I know. All right.
So then let's, the amount of luggage that can be, do we need to say checked then? Instead of carried by?
Sure.
All right.
But if we say checked in, I think they're going to read that the same way as we just said, that they can, the amount that they're allowed to bring with them should be reassessed. If we change it to checked in.
Right.
Yeah.
So right now, carried by a plane...
So you're literally saying the weight limit of a plane.
And that's including
cargo.
Everything, the checked and...
So maybe you should say the cargo.
The amount of cargo that can be carried by a plane? Does that include people?
What?
Are we getting into, like, a whole Kevin Smith thing now?
Well, that was what, I was wondering if maybe a question like that would be even interesting to...
Yeah.
You know, because I was like, should Southwest be allowed to kick passengers off based on how they look on weight? But that would probably be a strong response question. So,
Yeah, I would think given the way it lit up the blogosphere.
Yeah.
Because, you know, bloggers are such a good representation of the rest of the country. But. All right, let's leave it as carried by a plane for now. And
we'll see where it goes.
That can be interpreted to include both carry-on and checked luggage.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other compound sentences we have here?
We have the text and or talk. Do we want to pick one and go with it?
Wait, the text, what
number was that?
Number 8.
Or we could just have young people tend to use their cell phone radar while driving. Does that imply both?
So we're saying more than older people? Or are we just... Like, what's the opinion that we're stating here?
That's a good question. I guess young would implicitly imply a comparison to old. I mean, we had... In 33, we define younger as 20s to early 30s, and then older as late 30s to 40s. The texting, I would imagine, would even really be a teenage problem. My nephew actually just had a really good friend killed in a head-on collision, and they think she was texting while she was driving.
Well, that's what I was going for, number 9.
Yeah. So what if we just say teenagers tend to text a lot on their cell phones while driving? Teenagers tend to text more than other drivers.
We can even have, you know, young people tend to text too much or something like that.
Yeah.
Does anyone object to me changing young people to teenagers?
Yeah.
Is that a yes or a no?
That was a no.
Oh, okay.
Sure, that was a nay, so it kind of sounded like both.
Teenagers tend to text, and we can probably delete on their cell phones, because I think texting is so ubiquitous among this crowd.
Yeah.
It probably makes us sound old that we need to specify that. We're probably like, yeah, duh, what else would you text on? Teenagers tend to text too much while driving.
Oh, we can make it even worse and put the cellular phones, you know, I mean, very picky.
I know, right?
I'm not even sure you need to put too much. I think just any texting while driving is...
So just say tend to text while driving.
I mean, I don't know if that would be my personal opinion, but...
Do we want to say more than, do we want the comparison group explicit here, more than other drivers? Do we want to just say texting while driving is dangerous?
Actually, I do kind of like that better.
Yeah, me too.
Because, I mean, we get at the idea that the driving habits of teenagers, the driving are, you know, that they're dangerous in number 9.
Should we get it?
Because trust me, I've seen plenty of adults. Texting while driving. In fact, I drove all the way to JSM last year with someone who texted the entire way. So, just who was driving? It drove me absolutely insane. And that person was not a teenager.
Is texting spelled correctly?
Yeah.
Okay. So then in 9, is driving habits too vague? I mean, driving habits could include cell phone use, it could include radio use, it could include just general bad driving, you know, like not paying attention or just not knowing how to react to things the way a more experienced driver might.
No, I think actually that one's okay, because, I mean, we are trying to just kind of get at people's prior beliefs, and so I think that is something that,
yeah,
you know, I mean, some people do kind of have a, you know, whether it's justified or not, you know.
Yeah, biased. Do we want also the early 20s? Because most of our students are probably going to be in their early 20s, so lumping them in with the teenagers may actually offend some of them, and then they'll be like, well, no, I'm a safe driver, so no.
As I watch them fly by me at 100 when I'm driving home, I'm a safe driver, bye-bye.
Yeah, maybe we should just say that it's teenagers, even though some of us may believe that, you know.
That's our own personal bias.
Yeah.
That's because being in your early 20s makes you young when you're our age, but to them, they're experienced.
Exactly.
All right.
All right, just so we're aware of the time, it's about 2:45.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think this does. I think this looks good. I mean, I'm not seeing anything else that...
So we want to leave the 3 healthy meals a day and exercise on number 11, or do we just want to choose one of the two?
I would maybe just leave it as exercise if I were to pick one. Because I think that's... And I actually read some interesting studies recently that showed that exercise does not help you lose weight. And the reason is actually because then people tend to let their eating habits get worse because they figure, oh, I'm exercising. I can have, you know, that extra donut or whatever. But I think that's still a surprising conclusion to people. It does take both, but maybe that's how we can catch them, is we present them a study about, we ask them about exercise specifically, then we present them a study about exercise specifically that has a surprising conclusion when you're thinking of it just from the exercise aspect.
Well, on number 19, do we want to get rid of the and unbiased part?
Maybe. They may not know.
I mean, I'm afraid that word's going to throw them off, and accurate and unbiased sort of mean the same thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. On the exercise one, I would think if we decided to leave both in, I would actually put the word both. It's necessary to both eat 3 healthy meals a day and exercise. I would throw that word in there. If we're going to leave both of them in there. If we decide to just do one, then we decide to do just one.
Well, let's put it to a vote. What do you guys think?
I think both are one.
All right.
I would go with exercise if you said there are studies that we can use that, because if both eating healthy meals a day and exercising would be consistent with the studies, right?
Yes, that actually would be consistent. Because really what it is it's calories. If you exercise, but you increase your calorie intake to a point where you cancel out the amount you burned in your exercise, you're not going to lose weight, and people don't think about that.
How about if we change it to say exercising alone will help you to lose weight or something like that?
That would be good. What do you guys think of that?
That works for me.
And then the strongly disagree in that case might indicate people who understand diet is important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wait, are you private or are you a public school?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Me being late.
You're private?
Yeah, I'm private.
Okay, so 17, we'll leave them both then, because we have both private and public.
Yes. And trust me, I'm sure a lot of students at my school are going to say that it's too expensive, because it's very expensive here, and we're a very small... you know, not well-known private institutions, so.
And all of our private schools, we have 3 private schools near me. They're all over $50,000 a year, so our students should be familiar with them.
Yeah, our tuition, I think, is around $24,000-$25,000, although they're really good about financial aid here, but still, the tuition alone, without any financial assistance, is still pretty steep.
So. Okay, once we have the survey officially edited, so the next thing is actually trying to get this out there, right?
Yeah.
And from what Holly Lynn said, it sounded like from SurveyMonkey, we would actually just get an Excel spreadsheet.
I was supposed to look at my survey tool, and I never did get around to that. The rest of today is crazy for me, but I could look at the survey tool. Wait, that's the wrong Friday. I could probably look at that survey tool sometime tomorrow and send you guys, like the in-house NC State one, I could look at it sometime tomorrow and send you guys an update and let you know if that might be something we could all use. Because I'm just afraid you might have to pay to get a spreadsheet from SurveyMonkey, like an actual Excel spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. But you might be able to, like, copy and paste data relatively easily from SurveyMonkey. And I do think she said you could sort within. Like, I didn't think it was – I think you could use SurveyMonkey to sort. I remember picking that up somewhere from one of them.
Well, I was just reading Holly Lynn that said, like, all the results would get downloaded into a spreadsheet, and then all normal sorting filters can be used.
Okay. All right.
Well, and – does anyone else have SurveyMonkey Hurley, you're saying you've got some other survey tool, right?
Yeah, I think we have something else.
Okay, I have SurveyMonkey apparently here at Capital because I keep getting SurveyMonkey surveys from other people. So apparently I have access to SurveyMonkey here, but I guess...
Is that the edition they pay for, though, or is someone using the free edition?
That I don't know. I'll have to find out.
Because that's what I'm concerned, is that the spreadsheet might be a part of the paid editions of SurveyMonkey, that it might not be a part of the free edition of SurveyMonkey.
Well, that was why I was asking, because I'm thinking maybe Capital does actually pay for an account for Capital usage, but I'm assuming that then wouldn't necessarily translate that if Tara does this at Tara school and Jackie does this at Jackie school, that I can't, I can't get those results out to you guys. I could get the results from my students here, but I couldn't get them, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So I could conduct the survey here, but I couldn't do anything for you guys. But I'll have to find out exactly what exactly I have access to here for SurveyMonkey. But I'm assuming Jackie and Tara, you guys don't have SurveyMonkey.
Not that I know of.
Not sort of a paid account or anything through your school.
We use SurveyMonkey when we do surveys, but I think that we just use the free version.
Okay.
Yeah, I will, I'll take a look at my in-house tool and send you guys an email tomorrow and let you know if that's something that all of us could use and if it has spreadsheets and things along those lines.
Okay.
And Lee, if you want to look into what's available for you, SurveyMonkey, and then
okay. We
can email and hopefully make a decision sometime this weekend or early next week.
Okay.
Well, so I just pulled up SurveyMonkey, and I'm looking at it a little bit for the free, because I'm comparing the basic, the pro versus the unlimited. And it says that basically there's no printable version for the free. There is only 100 surveys, number of responses allowed.
For the free version?
For the free version.
Okay.
Well, maybe we do have an account then, because we used it, our negotiations team used it last time our contract was up for renewal, and we have more than 100 people on faculty.
And the responses are into a spreadsheet is not checked for the free version.
So maybe you do have a university account then?
Well, that was what I was wondering, because then maybe each one of us could just do it. It sounds like, I could do it here at Capital through my account, and then maybe, Jackie, you can do it through your account.
I don't know if I even have one. That's my problem.
Well, I mean, we can check into it, find out how exactly we're going to do this. Instead of trying to centrally do it from one account.
I just came up with an idea. So one thing we could do, since we want to know what the free results look like, I used to have a free account. I can see if I can remember my password and things, or they may have canceled me by now and I can just open up a new one. But I can put together a fake survey and send it to the four of you and then
give
you access to the survey, and we can actually see what it does look like. Like, we could fill out our own survey, so we just see what the data looks like on the free one. And while checking what we have, you know, if we have more sophisticated stuff available at our individual institutions. And that way we'll at least know, because I think right now what's bugging us is we don't know for sure.
Yeah.
I'll try and do that tomorrow, too. I think today is a crazy day for me, but I'm hoping tomorrow should be a little bit better. So hopefully my head will be screwed back on straight tomorrow, and I can look at some of this stuff, figure out what other balls I've dropped over the past week, pick them all back up.
The other thing, IRB, I haven't looked. I know I have to submit this for IRB. Now that we sort of have the survey questions, do we also need to have, like, a little idea of exactly, because we have to figure out what we're going to do with SurveyMonkey. I don't even know what my question is, actually. Never mind. If I figure out my question, I'll ask it. I guess it was, usually you have to have, like, a script or an idea of what you're going to tell the students about this when you give it to them. So do we have an idea of what we're going to say to them? Are we going to give them bonus points for doing this, or we just...
I did clear with my course coordinator that we could do this for bonus points.
Okay.
So I can do that on my end.
Okay.
I can
do bonus points. That's not a big deal. I basically can do whatever I want in terms of bonus points and that sort of thing. I just want to make sure that we're all consistent and whatever I put in the IRB is consistent with what everybody else is doing.
I was going to do bonus points. They'll be happy that's multiple extra credit opportunities this semester, so they'll be thrilled.
Okay.
I'm trying to put together an intro script right now, but again, that might be something I have to do later. I would imagine it would just give some instructions about how to read the scale and then say, you know, we expect this to take you less than 5 minutes to complete, and you'll receive one bonus point or two bonus points, and everyone can fill in according to what they decide to do.
Okay. And then I guess once we figure out what survey tool we're using, we'll figure out how to identify who's done it.
Holly Lynn said that when they do SurveyMonkey that it gives them a survey completed page. Maybe that's something else that we can see if it's true with the free version.
Okay.
I don't think it's true with the free version. I think it just brings you back to the SurveyMonkey homepage with the free version. I don't think it tells you. Because I remember, like, taking a free survey one time and submitting it and thinking, like, ooh, did that work? Like, it just kicked you back out to the SurveyMonkey homepage. I think that might be a paid feature.
Yeah, so it has on here that custom redirected upon survey completion is not checked for free.
Okay. So we got to figure that out, too, how we're going to keep it anonymous yet assign the bonus points. So, we don't have to figure that out right this second, but... In the emails to go back and forth once we figure out how we're going to do the survey and what tool we're going to use. I just need to know because, you know, I'm sure as I go through the IRB stuff, that's got to be a question that will come up.
Yeah.
Well, what are some of the words? I was thinking that I could stupidly have my students have to write down the very last question. They see that way. They think in my mind that I actually know what the last question is. And they turn that in, and that's how they get their bonus points. If I can't have them print something, that's at least, I guess, something. But
yeah.
But there's your corners in the middle, no time stamp, or, you know, students could copy from each other kind of thing. But
well, I kind of, Holly Lynn said, like, when we do the regular survey, that we would have to have them choose a number. Maybe we could do something similar. Or have them identify themselves with their student ID now, because that would not be anonymous. So.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
What's wrong?
Oh, sorry, I'm looking at the time. I just finally looked at the IRB. And it is the second Thursday of the month. Okay, the second Thursday of the month would be the 8th.
Did someone say they had to go right at 3? Sorry, Lee, to interrupt you. But
no, no, it's fine. I thought they said that, wasn't there another meeting at 3?
There's another meeting at 4 today.
Oh, okay.
On this line. Did anyone say they had to go at 3?
No, I was going to have to go when they got here with our stuff, but my husband was home, so.
Oh, that's right.
Well, technically, I have office hours at 3, so I should probably sneak off the line here at some point, but, you know.
Yeah, I have to meet with a job candidate in about 15 minutes.
Oh, so Jenny isn't good enough? You have to look at more?
Yeah, actually, this one Lee knows, too, so I'm going to have to pick between the two of you when I vote at the faculty meeting.
Oh, who do I know?
Jessica Kohlschmidt.
Oh, Kohlschmidt. Oh, it's Kohlschmidt.
I introduced myself, and she's like, oh, I've heard a lot about you. And I'm like, from Roger? She's like, yeah, Roger and Lee. And now I'm, like, nervous. I'm like, do I need to explain that nothing in what you've heard is true, or what do I need to say?
Oh, you know, she said, because I emailed her the other day, she said she had a job interview. I didn't realize it was at NC State.
Yeah, she may have been coming to another one before this, too. But, okay.
So what's the position you guys have open?
A teaching assistant professor. So someone, they're outside of the tenure track, and their main focus is on teaching, but they can, then they do like a little bit of service, and they can do some administrative stuff if they want.
Oh, all right.
All right, I'm totally taking, for the intro script, I'm looking at the survey of attitudes towards statistics and more or less copying what they have.
Awesome.
Well, of course, changing the purpose of the survey.
Oh, okay.
But she has this thing about not spending too much time thinking about each statement, which I think is kind of a good, instruction. Like, just gut response is kind of what we're looking for here. That way you avoid my whole neurotic overanalyzing thing. What are these questions designed to do? Identify your attitudes or your opinions about various topics. I got the word opinion right in your opinion.
Yeah, I think opinion's a better word.
All right, I can, of course, finish doing this while we're offline, and people can feel free to tweak it as they see fit. Is there anything else we need to discuss while we're on the phone together?
I think I'm good.
Yeah, so the main thing we really all need to be working on is making sure we do also get the IRB stuff sent in, so those that need to send it in.
Yeah.
Since at least we have a really good idea what the questions are, so hopefully we get approval. At least most of our institutions in time to actually do that this semester.
Well, yeah, that's what I was just looking up the date. They're going to review the next meeting for the IRBs is April 8th, which is starting to run into the end of my semester. So,
do they have a clause about exemption in there? If you're applying for an exemption, they'll review them like every 2 weeks or something. Michigan had something along those lines.
All right, we have expedited review. The researchers expect a waiting period of 14 to 21 days between submitting the proposal for expedited and committee's initial response about the proposal. Okay, may determine a full review by the AIRB. Okay. Oh, holy. So, yeah, maybe I don't have to do the April 8th meeting. The April 8th meeting is the IRB committee meeting, so maybe it's just, two members of the IRB conduct expedited review of a proposal. Okay, so yeah, maybe I don't have to wait for that. I just need to get my button gear. Okay, never mind. never mind. Or just have to actually read the entire document.
I would also recommend right now that we just think about this survey and what we're doing with this survey this semester and not think about how this connects to the larger thing yet. Like, I think that just should be a separate IRB application in and of itself. Because if you mention now that this is going to be a part of later research, then they're going to need you to have all of those ducks in a row, too. Whereas I think we can just get permission to do this and say we're going to use it to figure out what they have opinions for and what they don't. And that's it this semester, and then we do a separate IRB application for everything else in the future semesters. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So should we not mention at all that we're doing a larger study later on, or should we just say that?
I don't know. I mean, if there's a question that I would never advocate lying, a question that talks about it directly, I would answer honestly. But
I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you. I was just going to say, I think it's going to be hard to explain this random list of questions without at least sort of.
Well, I think if you just, in a sense, almost call it like a pilot idea, they'll know enough what that means.
Yeah. Okay.
That they'll kind of realize, okay, something else is going to be coming later. It's just that until this is done, we have no clue what that is.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. We don't really
know
what we're doing.
It's like, until this goes, we don't really know how we're going to ask the next best.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's a good point. All right.
And hopefully all of you got my email that I ended up setting up the conference call for Tuesday the 13th at 4, because that's what it looked like everyone agreed with.
I think so.
At 4. Yeah.
You, of course, well, you don't get the reminder email with phone number and all that kind of stuff later.
Yeah.
But while the RABs weren't booked already, I wanted to make sure we got that in before they booked something then.
Okay. Well,
when did you send out an email?
Monday, Tuesday, something like that.
Yeah, it might have gotten lost in the giant pile of emails that I got, but wait, maybe there it is. Nope, that's not it.
Yeah, I don't remember getting one.
Yeah, I don't think I got one either, honestly. I was going to say, also, don't forget, there is that, I'm sure there will be a reminder that comes out, but there is also, if you can come to it, there's that special webinar that Holly's doing.
I thought that was a requirement. I didn't think it was an option.
Well, I don't know if it's an option or not. I have to be there because I'm hosting it, so.
I have it. I read Bob's email was something to please plan to attend or something along those lines, so I kind of read it as it's a requirement. Okay. So I have the intro script there, and like I said, I more or less took it from the Survey of Attitudes Towards Statistics. People can adjust the point amounts or do a completely different number, whatever they see as relevant for this. But, so yeah, so I think that's at least an idea. People can change it how they think is useful.
Should we state that there's if you have no idea about the topic, select the not familiar option?
Ah, yes, we should. If you have no opinion, please choose option 4. If you are completely, how do you spell that? There we go. Unfamiliar with.
Suppose that so you didn't get my email, I just forwarded it all to you guys again to make sure that you have that date so you don't forget to write it down.
Yeah, I just got the email this time. So.
Okay, so I've changed it right after, well, I guess you guys can see it all, but I added that sentence right after the choose response 4. What do you think?
And we're back.
Might have an updated. Oh, there it goes.
If you have no opinion, choose response 4. If you're unfamiliar with it, please choose response 0. Please read each statement and mark the one response that. I like that you underline that.
That was in the stats, too. It was emphasized.
Spent too much time. Thinking.
I've seen it all the time on server responses where people like circle 2 answers.
Yeah, I think that's good. It's not too long. But
90% of them still won't read it.
Well, of course.
But hey, it's there.
Yeah.
Can we change you to you're in the first sentence? Can we add an R?
Oh, yeah, that would be a good idea.
Identify your opinions.
We're just talking like them then.
Yeah.
I got my first ever text message lingo email the other day.
Really?
Like I had
your
IDK
first ever?
For an actual student doing it to me, yeah.
That's funny. So my husband used to be an elementary school teacher, and he said they actually had problems with that, like convincing them that's really not proper grammar when you're in a school setting.
We have students at our college who submit English papers like that. When our freshman seminar students, the papers that they have to write, they submit them with all that kind of language in. They don't understand that it's wrong.
Okay.
All right, I am going to have to get going. Do we need formal minutes for this call, or are we okay because pretty much everything was scripted or everything was tracked on the Google Docs?
Of course, I have no problem not writing minutes, so you all can decide.
I think the biggest thing would be a summary email to the RAB and to each of us to say what we're all supposed to be working on next. Because I've totally had one of those weeks where, like, I just don't even know what's going on. I'm having one of those bad planner weeks where I either don't write it in the planner or I forget to look at the planner. So I would just say a quick summary. This is what we talked about. We updated the statements. If I remember, we're supposed to be doing our IRB application and then looking at the survey tools. And I personally am promising to send an email sometime tomorrow about surveys.
Okay.
What I find on my end.
Yeah. What about our abstract?
Oh, crap. I'm sorry.
Does someone want to take a stab at reworking it, and then we can just send it around to everyone and say, let me know what you think, and if I don't hear back, then I'll update this next, you know, in a few days.
Yeah, what's the deadline on fixing it?
It's April.
It opens the 30th. Of March, and it's open until April 19th. So it will be just after our next conference call that it will close.
Oh, good.
So we got some time on that. I thought that was, like, coming up. Okay.
No, it opens next week. But we haven't done a whole lot on the literature review piece for the new topic, well, the topic that we're focusing on now. I mean, we still have some stuff from our original articles.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't know.
Yeah, I think once we get the survey done, then we can go back to focusing on that can be like the summer project.
How about this, just to make everyone's life, well, I don't know if this will make everyone's life a little simpler or not, but what if we put the abstract off for another week, since that's not pressing? What if we get the survey settled first and then go back to the abstract?
Okay.
I would vote for that.
Works for me.
I am making a note in my planner for April. Is April 19th was the date?
13th.
Closing.
Oh, 13th is the
date. Oh, sorry. I thought April 19th is the day the abstract closes, yes.
Okay.
April 13th, we can talk about it at our next conference call.
Yeah. I'm making a note about the abstract.
Because Felicity thought we needed to put in more about our pilot study and stuff, right?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think we put like one sentence in about we were going to pilot some questions. Because at that point we had really no idea what we were going to do.
Yeah, now we have a better idea.
Yeah.
All right, so our next call is April 13th at 4 p.m.
Okay.
Between now and then, we're looking into IRB and then probably via email. Once we get approval, we can just shoot an email out to everyone saying, hey, I got approval. I'm asking the survey, you know, tomorrow.
Yep.
Does that sound good to everyone?
Sounds good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. Mm-hmm. I am about to meet with our candidates, so I got to run.
Say hi to Jessica for me.
I will. I don't know if I hang up. I don't know if that's going to cancel everyone else, though, because I'm the chair.
Okay,
it will.
It will. So there,
yeah, because remember that happened to me.
So don't forget to end the recording before you go.
Yeah.
It ends it anyway. It's fine. It won't be a big deal.
Okay. Anything anyone needs to say before I hang up?
Cut it off. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Bye. Yeah. Have a good afternoon, everybody.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.